Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for holding and welcome to MRV's third quarter of 2024 results conference call. Today with us, we have the CEOs of the company, Mr. Rafael Menin and Mr. Eduardo Fischer, and the Chief Financial and IR Officer, Ricardo Paixão. We would like to inform that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are completed, there will be a Q&A session when further instructions will be given. Now, I would like to turn the floor over to the CEO, Mr. Rafael Menin. Mr. Menin, you may continue. Good morning. Once again, thank you for being with us in our earnings conference call. I would like to start talking about MRV Brazil. We are now in the third quarter, and we have a lot to celebrate. The main operating metrics are doing fine. Sales are going up, sales price are going up above inflation, costs are below inflation, and when we see the fourth quarter has started also very strong with good metrics, which shows a continuous development. And we are very optimistic because all the work we've done in the last 2 or 3 years is now materializing, and we can see the results of it. Therefore, we're sure that in a short period of time, MRV will be able to deliver financial and economic results in the first year of the Brazilian market. In terms of size, we have a large advantage when compared to other competitors. We are much bigger, and we continue to grow steadily. And at some point in time next year, we'll have an interesting income statement with cash generation, which is also an important indicator. We see that it's growing, and we are delivering in the operational front. This will show and boost the potential of cash generation during next year. As for Urba and Luggo, we'll have a neutral cash income statement, but in cash flow, but ne as of next year, they will have a positive income statement and cash flow. I know these two companies are small, but they had a turnaround and they have a good project for coming years. Looking at Resia is still a challenge. We have a market context that is more challenging, especially regarding interest rates. When we look at operations, we still have a good rental revenue, but since interest rates in the US are high, it's harder to sell the properties. And the sale is done at the price level that's lower than historical levels. Of course, we believe that these interest rates will not remain as they are now. We believe that some point in time at the end of next year, but it will go down. But it's a consensus that the US market will be more agile, more active in terms of property purchases. So looking forward, we are sure that Resia's operation, not only in the area of construction, purchase, and sale of properties, but sales of properties will reach a better context than we have now. Now, talking about MRV, looking forward, the company's operation, we are very optimistic because the context of MRV's market it remains very favorable. We've seen regional checks with an important role in economic segment. Several states already have that check working. Other states have announced that they will contribute as well. And we are the company with the higher geographic coverage, and we are therefore impacted by regional checks. Another important point is that, along with the prices that are going up slightly above inflation and costs going up below inflation, we see good room for gross margin of new sales that reached 37.5. We see space for this margin to continue to grow, which will place MRV as the company with the best profitability in the industry at some point in time next year. Another important point, an indicator that we keep track of, is a metric looking at 2026 and 27, is the purchase of land. We've been purchasing land by in swap transactions at percentages that are below historical values and less than the competition is buying. Therefore, we are sure that land purchased in 2023 and 24 will allow us to have an important competitive delta 2 to 3 years from now, because listed companies disclose the metrics and we have been able to consistently buy at better conditions. And regarding the Urba and Luggo, as I said, willing gradually improve their operations, becoming positive, but they still account for a small share within MRV and Co. Resia, looking at the future in terms of what's within our control. Of course, interest rates are something outside our control, and it will improve. Today, we have a defined geographic region. We left Austin and will operate in the four cities, and we've also done work to reduce the land bank. In the next 12 months, we expect to reduce our land bank by half. So we'll remain with our land bank that has a profitability level that we find adequate to Resia. We have good land that will be sold at good prices. Another important aspect is that in the third quarter, we did a performance, we reduced about 13% of G&A of Resia. We have a company that's will become even leaner in the next quarter. So in terms of capital markets, either at the project level or at the holding level, we continue to work on that. We see more and more funds interested in the projects. The sales of stable assets, we've seen an improvement in margins quarter on quarter. In this release, you see that we have 13 billion reais in projects in different stages of stabilization and rental, but these are projects that are ready. They have required their capital, the debt is on the balance sheet, and in the next 6 quarters, I could say that we expect to sell all these assets. And the new projects that we're starting, we are reducing our equity in each project so that we can be an asset light company more and more. And this combination of leaner G&A, leaner land bank, and new projects in which we have a smaller equity and interest rates in the US going down, we believe that with a little delay when compared to MRV Brazil, but certainly Resia will have much better operational quality some years from now. To summarize, I reaffirm that we did our homework very well in terms of expenses, costs of projects, portfolio, originated land bank, price recovery, and that is true for Brazil that already happened, and as well as for Resia, where it's going on now. So I am very optimistic, and I reaffirm that MRV and Co. will continue to improve and operation in operations, finance, and overall quarter on quarter. And now I turn the floor over to Kaká for the financial highlights. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Rafa. Starting with my comments with some figures, MRV and Co. has reached 229 million of cash generation in the quarter with net sales of 3.5 billion reais. When we look at corporation, we see that it's improving quarter on quarter. In the third quarter, we see 2.8 in net sales, 7.4 billion in sales in 9 months of 24, which is 19% higher and 68% than 22. So with a gross margin of 37.5%, we're also able to hold our pro soluto at 2.5%, and we raised producing to 27,000 units in 9 months, which is 13% higher than the same period of 23. This operational improvement is also accompanied by financial because our accumulated RAL is 37 billion, 17% higher than the same period in 23 and 29% at the same period of 22. 31%, 3.3% above in gross margin, and 7 percentage points higher than in the 3Q of 22. The EBITDA that measures in the 857 million in 9 months of 24, almost double than the same period of 23 and three times 22. We generated 124 million in cash, 154 against 327. Our expense control, we reduced 1.6 to 14.1% in year to date so far. Our adjusted net income, according to the swap of debt and shares, worth 76 million in the third quarter, 206 year to date, against a loss of 102 million in the ninth. When we look at the guidance, we have 6.2 billion in raw net revenue, which is comfortable to reach the guidance in the fourth quarter. A gross margin, which is very close to the average, will close the gap in the fourth quarter. Cash generation, 56.5. So we'll reach the middle point of the guidance. Net debt over equity, 39.1%. So we'll reach the level. And the net income is 196 million, and our operation is improving quarter on quarter. We are expect to reach the middle of the guidance of this important indicator. With this, we reaffirm our guidance for the year. This is what I had to say, and now let me go to the Q&A session. Thank you. We'll now start the Q&A session. Should you wish to ask a question, please click on Raise Hand. If your question has been answered, You may leave the queue by clicking on lower hand. The first question is from Bruno Mendonça from Bradesco BBI. Good morning. Thank you. I would like to talk about the direct finance that has had an important improvement or acceleration. I know that it's has a better quality than the Pro Soluto portfolio that has been reduced, but I would like to understand the dynamics of the origination of direct funding. I'll ask a few questions, but all of them within the same topic. So first, can you tell me what's the percentage of direct financing that Sensia and how much is within MCMV market? So for Sensia, has this direct financing been a direct commercial need to offset the banks that have less appetite, or is that more related to the company's option to sustain cash generation through the sale of portfolio? And within MCMV, in the sale of portfolio, sale of receivables, I would like to understand what's the reason for MCMV to get direct funding instead of going to Caixa. And since the rate is higher, what is my question is, what is the maximum income percentage that you are approving for those financing contracts? Okay, this is Kakai speak. Our sales with direct funding, we are selling at IPCA plus 0.95 per month throughout the entire contract. So in this quarter, we once again reached a balance between how much we charge from customers and how much we receive in those papers. So we are generating these bonds and distributing it in the market. So we created a model in which individual investors are able to fund the MRV directly. So MRV doesn't is not involved. So we are s selling, or la half of the direct credit concessions are being done with SBPE and the other half with MCMV. Now, the SBPE audience, this is due to our commercial decision internally. We prefer to sell for projects that have a POC of 70, 75%, or that have been launched, due to we prefer to sell it in direct funding instead of SBPE, where customers would pay 30% up to until keys, because we get a better return when projects like that. When the other half of sales and under Minha Casa, Minha Vida, MCMV, we have customers with a higher income than the cap. So these customers have a much higher profile, income profile. The average profile for direct purchases above 15,000 reais per month. So they are not included in the MCMV program. So they prefer the direct funding. So is this as an investor? Those customers that have a higher income, are they investors or dwellers? They are investors mostly, or they purchase and someone else is in the family is going to live there, some relative. Okay, thank you. Our next question comes from Aline Caldeira from Bank of America. Good morning. Thank you from the opportunity. First is about the gross margin from new sales. It's been stable in the first quarter at a reasonable level. Do you believe this is the new stabilization level? Was there still room to grow this margin of new sales? And also, if this has any impact of higher inflation rates, how do you see the dynamics of a cost dynamics there? And the second question is a bit more technical. It's about the impact of swaps, especially IPCA that you closed in this quarter. I would like to understand the rationale behind those transactions, if this has gone through income statement. Thank you. Thank you, Aline. Good morning. I'll answer your question about the margin, and then Kaká will talk about the swaps. As for the margin, it's been the gross margin for new sales is stable because we considered that for next year, inflation will be at 6%. I don't think this would be our inflation, but this is what we included in the mathematical model, an inflation of 6%. What we see on a daily basis and the basket of products is that our inflation is below INCC and our sales price is above INCC inflation rate. So the margin of the projects of September was better than July. We just did not report a higher margin because we made a forecast for future inflation that is higher than that we expected for the second quarter. But we continue to raise prices above inflation, and our costs remain below inflation. That provides us a expectation of continued growth for gross margins for new sales. We are at 37.5 now, and our mission is to reach a higher margin. And some point in time next year, we believe it's possible we'll have the best gross margin in the industry. Now, Kaká. Hello, Aline. Good morning. The swap, what was the rationale? We issue debt securities of 1.9 million according to IPCA indexation. And when in 2021, our trade receivables linked to IPCA was much lower than that. So, as a hedging, we did the swap of IPCA. We did this in 2021. We made money year to date about in entire period 100 million in 21 and 20, or we lost in 21 and 22. But we made a lot in 2022. We lost a bit in 23 and 24. Since now, our non-granted portfolio is 2.800 and not linked to IPCA, we decided to support that transaction. We decided to, there was a loss of 105 million in the settlement of swaps. But it's mark to market of the debenture is 79. So the match was 79 million reais in losses. The main economic objective, it doesn't make sense anymore to maintain those swaps. And also, the adjusted and the actual result will be much closer to each other from now on. Okay, perfect. That's very clear. If I could just ask a follow-up question about Prosoluto. The Prosoluto that you see in the end is stable on a quarter on quarter. Are you comfortable with that level, or do you believe there's still room to reduce that? We believe there is room to reduce it, and there are some ci cities that they have these housing checks to be contributed, and that will reduce Prosoluto in the percentage of the property. Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Have a good day. Our next question comes from Kiefer Kennedy from Citi. Hello, everyone. Thank you for having my questions. One is about the guidance of cash generation. You mentioned at the beginning that it seems to be more distant. What are the drivers that you see in the third and fourth quarter to deliver this cash generation in the guidance? And what's the risk of not reaching that? And the second is about Resia. Do you see the recent election of Trump as positive, or should anything change based on that? Thank you. Kiefer, this is Ricardo speaking. In terms of cash generation guidance, the gener cash generation throughout the year has evolved. We've had 124 million cash generation the third quarter of this year, and since we project a growing sales volume in the fourth quarter, also transfers growing, and a gross margin that is higher, it's natural to expect this cash generation to grow when compared to this quarter. This is where our guidance, confidence in the guidance. The only metric that could be lower is sales and transfers, but that's not true. The fourth quarter is doing fine. Kiefer, this is Rafael speaking. As for Resia, it's very hard to make any estimate. It's a new administration. We don't know what the policy or the fiscal policy will be. Something has been said about a higher efficiency of the government. On the other hand, lower taxation. So it's really hard to predict what will happen in terms of interest rates. But the consensus around that topic is that the interest rate tends to be reduced, but nobody knows for sure. So, but the direction is towards a lower interest rate, which favors the funding of projects and sales of projects as well. Okay, thank you. The next question comes from Igor Otero from XP. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. First, I would like to understand what were the lessons learned from the latest higher inflation cycle. What would MRV do differently if inflation goes up again? And the other is about the cash generation dynamics for next year. If you expect it to improve, what would be the sales of current receivables base? Well, Diego, first regarding inflation, any crisis, especially the crisis we've been through, there was a major one. I've talked to many of you those have probably been the last three worst years of MRV's recent history, 2020, 21, and 22. Now the company has learned a lot and is much more prepared for the future. But after things are in the past, it becomes more obvious. I mean, nobody expected in 21 and 22 for the industry to be hit by a 40% inflation rate. In 20 and 21, there were the two best years in terms of volume in the history of MRV, 53,000 sales and 45,000 in 2021. 21 started with some signs of inflation in construction materials, and it took us a long time to make decisions. You know, it's like an engineer of built constructions, as we say in Portuguese. It's easy to say after things are in the past. But if we look at the fourth quarter of 2019 up to the third quarter of 2024, in that time interval, our sales price in MCMV We adjusted prices above inflation in the period. Our cost, despite the fact that concrete and steel prices increased a lot in 22, our cost is below inflation in the period, so we did our homework regarding efficiency. But of course, we learned we could have been more aggressive in terms of price increases. I think life goes on. Let's look forward and celebrate this year. This has been a very good year in terms of operations. We are growing in prices, quantity. Prosoluto is going down. Our production has delivered more efficient projects. So we are going below in official inflation rates. So a lot's going on in the operational front. We also are buying land. On average, they are cheaper than we purchased in the last 5 or 6 years. So in 23 and 24, we performed very well in terms of land purchases, well located with swap agreements. This will allow us to be even more competitive in the future. And when compared to our main competitors, we are purchasing better land and cheaper. It's also important to remember that we have land capillarity that's much higher than others. So we face a more balanced competition than our competitors. So we are confident that the company is well prepared, mature. And it's important to remember that since the IPO, between 2007 and 2024, MRV is the company that did the right thing more often. I'm absolutely sure about that. I'm also sure that from now on, we'll deliver results that comply with our history of success. We have a team that's highly prepared, highly motivated. We'll continue to grow with quality, delivering projects with good profitability, strong cash generation. And I reaffirm that the next years of the company will be brilliant in all aspects, financial and operational. Okay? In terms of cash generation for 2025, this is Kakai speaking. We expect cash from operations to be stronger, excluding trade receivables that are due to increase in sales, increase in production, the execution of a harvest with a better margin. In terms of trade receivables, those from direct financing, we've been able to have it without any financial loss. Any credit we transferred, we continue to transfer. And the Prosoluto, since we have given less credit in that in Prosoluto, first we have less contracts to assign and or to transfer, and we can see liabilities going down. Okay, that's clear. Thank you, Rafael and Kaká. Our next question is from Gustavo Cambauva from BTG. Hello, good morning. I have two questions. First, could you comment on Resia? You've opened the pipeline for rentals of projects. I would like to understand more about the yield on cost dynamics on these projects, since that there are six of them that are more advanced in terms of rentals, so that we can understand what the margin will be as they're going to be sold. The second question is, how do you see this balance between prices, sales over supply, and Prosoluto in new sales? Because you've had a nice growth in sales over supply, prices are going up, and Prosoluto is smaller in new sales. So looking at these three items, where are you focusing more now? Is it on reducing origination of Prosoluto, or do you want to have more margin and working with a higher Prosoluto? What is the ideal balance for new sales, looking at those items? Thank you. Hello, Cambauva. I'll talk about Resia, and then he'll answer your question about MRV. Cutu, Dallas West, and Razor Ranch have a lower yield on cost because they are the older projects. Cutu, Dallas West, and Razor Ranch. First, because of inflation, the U.S. market was unbalanced in terms of input supply, was imbalanced during 22 and 21 and 22. So these first three projects have a worse cost than budgeted. Also, because they were the first three projects in each new city, Hutto in Austin, Dallas West in Dallas, and Razor Ranch in Dallas as well. In Tributary, it was the first project we had in Atlanta, a bit better. Ten Oaks already have good indicators, and Memorial has good indicators. So what we see there in terms of project efficiency, we are improving. And inflation of inputs or raw materials has reached almost 15% a year. Today's scenario is totally different. So at every project cycle, the yield on cost will improve. And on sales interests, the cap rate, since it's too early to sell the project, the first project will be sold is Hutto. It will have a cap rate that's lower with the worst yield on cost. So it would have a lower profitability. As we advance to the most recent projects, the yield on cost will be better and we'll certainly have a better cap rate on when it's time to sell it. So the profitability of each project, if you look at the Resia pipeline on slide 7, the projects on the left will have a lower yield on cost and a higher cap rate. Those more recent will have a better yield on cost and lower cap rates. So the profitability of next sales is bad. And the most recent projects, Ten Oaks and Memorial, will have a much better profitability rate. Now, Fisher will talk about the other question. How are you? In terms of sales over supply and Prosoluto prices, also, we believe that sales over supply is a healthy level today. It has grown as a whole, and it's a level that sustains us very well. And there is a dynamic between price and Prosoluto. We are trying to improve both under the assumption that Prosoluto has to go down still, as Kaká mentioned. When we transfer our cash generation to the future, we always try to find this balance, bearing in mind that we want Prosoluto to be reduced. Some important tools there, the housing checks from states that are important. And as these funds come in, we are using that to reduce Prosoluto and less on margins. And on the places where the checks are not present, we focus on reducing Prosoluto, always trying to grow margins above inflation, as Rafael mentioned. So we are doing a mix of both based on the assumption that our sales over supply is on a healthy level. Looking forward, the the hedge against inflation we have is our inventory. So, in addition to inflation that's already embedded in the margin of 6%, our inventory is the protection we have for the future. So, we believe that the sales over supply is at the right level where it should be, and we make a mix between price and pro soluto, varying product by product, but with a strategy of trying to make pro soluto to go down. Okay, did I answer your question? Yes, very good. Thank you. So the check in the cities where it's available will go more towards pro soluto than to price. So the margin of new sales, we should imagine that it would be at the current level, either on this quarter or last quarter, and the percentage of pro soluto will go even down more. Yes, Gustavo, it's a balance because we want price to continue to go up above inflation. That's an important assumption. So we try to stretch prices so that it will be above the projected inflation and have pro soluto to go down. But provided that margins are not affected. So that's adjusted product by product, okay? But that's something you can take into account. We want to focus on the reduction of pro soluto, provided that prices go up above projected inflation rates. Okay, thank you and have a good day. Our next question comes from Tainan Costa from UBS. Good morning, Rafa and Kaká. I would like to look at the macroeconomic scenario of Brazil and the guidance for 25. If you go back to March, the last time you reviewed the guidance for 25, and from that time on, the scenario changed considerably. There were increases in costs, and there was a worsening of the interest rate curve. I would like to understand if you have more visibility for the numbers of 2025. Should we expect the ranges of revenue, margin, and profit to be delivered? In other words, are you comfortable with the guidance provided for 2025? Good morning, Taina. This is Rafael speaking. Well, in terms of macroeconomic figures for Brazil, you're right. The fiscal side is not well cared for. Interest rates are going up. And that's a given. It's not under our control. On the other hand, our low-income sector is more protected because there is a funding from FGTS with the predetermined interest rates. The government has been very protective of this program. It's done several changes, important changes have been made to prioritize the purchase of new properties in the MCMV program. So my MCMV continues in a super special moment. The rules of the program are currently very good. In addition to those rules that were changed, we said that these state programs have played an important role for Minha Casa, Minha Vida housing projects. And we see a growing number of states that come to the same conclusion. And our feeling, Renan, is that, Tainan, is that more and more affordable housing will become a state policy, not only a federal policy. An affordable housing is good for Brazil as a whole. As for the guidance of 2025, I'm not going to review it now, but like I said, sometimes during this call, our operation is doing better actually than we expected in the beginning of the year. So if the operation is doing well, sales at a good level, prices at a good level, Prosoluto going down, costs going up lower than inflation in the industry, and land purchased in the recent years purchased at very good conditions. This makes us very comfortable regarding financial indicators for 2025. So at the right time, we'll have an MRV day, probably in the middle of February next year, right? And then we'll show that the guidance of 2024 has been completed and that the year of 2025 will certainly be a very good year regarding financial indicators because it relates to what was done in 2023 and 24. What we'll do next year will have an impact on the indicators of 2025, but everything leads to believe that we'll have a very good operational year in 2025. So we are very comfortable with the guidance that was announced in the beginning of the year for 24, 25, and 26. What we see currently in terms of market, sales volume, gains of efficiency, reduction of Prosoluto makes us very comfortable regarding future years. Have I answered your question, Taina? No, everything covered and clear. Thank you. Our next question comes from Antonio Castrucci from Santander. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for answering my question. I have two questions. First, about Resia, I would like to understand after the opening of the treasuries, has there been any deterioration on demand and on the things you expected to sell this year? And the second question is about the MCMV cities. Are there any relevant regions that you expect this to be implemented soon? This is Fischer speaking. I'll start with the second question. Yes, MCMV has gained relevance. We learned this week that the state of Santa Catarina will announce their plan in the beginning of December. Some cities start to make their plans regardless of the states, Maringá, for example. So this is becoming more and more important because if you look at the dynamics of states, it's a lot of money for the return. So for us, it's very relevant not only to keep a good sales over supply, but more importantly, to continue to raise prices above inflation and reducing Prosoluto. So this, I don't see a deceleration of this dynamic. No, on the opposite, it's growing. There's more and more interest. The state of São Paulo will announce the renewal of the plan in November. So I've seen a very intense movement in the political agenda around that topic, that it's becoming more and more important. Looking at 2025 and 26, I don't see why this would lose strength because it makes sense economically and it doesn't account for a lot of the state budget with a big political benefit. So I believe this could be an important tailwind. And I see that becoming more and more important in MRSV's portfolios, sales portfolio. Is that clear? Yes, clear. Thank you. I'll answer the Resia question, Antonio. We see that the market is improving. The curve opens and closes. It goes up 1 week, then goes down. So we cannot look at the very short term as a trend. It is a consensus that US interest rates will go down. We've seen important transactions happening We've seen very large funds going back to that market to benefit from these opportunistic gains. These large funds see a window of opportunity that will close. So, once again, our opinion or our vision is that the credit market, the US interest rates, and the volume of transactions and cap rate will evolve positively along coming months. Perfect. Just a follow-up. Do you believe that Hutto and Dallas will be sold? Well, they're both in diligence. Hutto will probably likely to be sold this year. It may be that Dallas will slip into next year. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Our next question is from Rafael Rehder from Safra. Mr. Rafael, you may continue. Your mic is open. Our next question is from Marcelo Garaldi Mota from JP Morgan. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for the question. It's a follow-up on the land question. If you could give a more color about the swap levels when compared to historical levels and the PSV, and to understand your competitive advantage on the in terms of land bank. Is that given because of your geographic diversification? How do you get this benefit of being better priced than competitors in terms of land purchases? Hi, this is Fischer speaking. First, discipline. Rafael mentioned about lessons learned in this difficult time we went through in the 2 or 3 previous years. We started making better deals. Geographic diversification helps. What happened in this explosion of inflation is that many of our small and medium-sized competitors did not survive in many of those towns. So today, there is a lower demand, which makes our strategy easier. And even in the larger towns, our price went up a lot. And that enabled us, on a swap level, to make levels, to make deals at absolute values that meet the needs of the land buyer or landowner. And there is a lock level. So this dynamic has favored us. And we see on a recurring note that we used to sell at 10%. Now we're closing at 10%. Now we're closing at 8 or 9. So as this becomes part of our pipeline and is being captured in income or in revenue, this is an additional driver to see our margin grow. Have I been clear? Yes, very clear. Thank you. Our next question comes from Rafael Rehder from Safra. Mr. Rehder, your mic is open. This ends the Q&A session. For the final remarks, I would like to turn the floor over to Eduardo Fischer. Mr. Fischer, you may continue. Thank you. Just to wrap up, Rafael said well and a lot about how our operation continues to improve. The year of 2024 has been a year of a strong recovery for us. Of course, we see that we still have the challenge of causing that to be included in our earnings and results, and that would be much stronger in 2025. But what I can see is some important developments to be considered. In the last 60 days, we no longer have an important competitor. We talked about the rebalance of used properties. Now they use an important competitor that's no longer with us, and that's very helpful. So checks are becoming more and more important. Inflation, that is the main concern looking forward. What I could say is that we, among our metrics, we've considered higher inflations for the future, and we want to adjust our inventory very well, which is our protection against inflation. So looking forward, we see a very favorable wind in a scenario I've never seen before, competition that has decreased, especially when you consider the market of used properties that's being reduced. And in the inflation front, we see a comfortable behavior and projections looking forward, so that what we are originating today to be even better in the future. So I confirm that we are at a very good operational moment. The demand is very strong, and now it's being converted intensively in terms of volume of sales and reduction of Pro Soluto. So looking forward at 2025, I'm confident and optimistic that everything we've worked for in this last 2 or 3 years will flow into 2025. So MRV will be an even bigger company in terms of revenue, with important dilutions that we haven't mentioned here that will continue to happen, delivering cash generation margins that are strong in 2025. So I'm very confident and optimistic about what we are building, and that will be seen most likely in 2025. We'll have the largest MRV we've ever had with high quality in operations, as Rafael mentioned. These are my final remarks. Thank you, and see you in the next quarter. The conference call of MRV has now ended. We thank you all for attending and have a good day.